Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Bowling. I'm pleased to share a wonderful session from the 2019 DPharm Conference, where Merck's Dr. Mark Travers addresses disruption in clinical trials by balancing innovation with common sense. Mark also walks the audience through their experience in mapping a plan on changing operational delivery. For details on the 10th annual DPharm event, visit theconferenceforum.org. Enjoy the podcast.
So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I live in Doylestown, Pennsylvania with my wife and two children. We've been there 18 years and we have a basement. There is a lot of stuff in the basement. I do not know how it got there. But my wife said to me on Saturday, please go down and organize the basement. My wife is from Scotland. She is a lady of very few words. I went down to the basement and I looked around at the basement and I thought, where do I start? So I did nothing. Well, that's not really correct, because what I did was I pulled out a few old vinyl records and I listened to them. And first on the list was a 1971 album from David Bowie called Hunky Dory, and the first track on it was Changes. Right, some of you have probably heard of it, heard a little groan there. So I ask you to check it out. There's two lines in the chorus that really resonated with me, and they are, changes, turn and face the strange. Changes, I've got to be a different man. And these really resonated with me. And Merck had to turn and face the change, because it had a changing portfolio. It was moving into immuno-oncology and the old ways would not be enough. They would not work. So I'm going to talk to you about the new Merck operating model. I also like to use a few little cliche phrases, like it's a marathon, not a sprint, and perfect is the enemy of good. So I'm going to throw a few of those into the presentation. But yeah, let's look at Merck's new model. And our basis is built on this Sandcone model for improvement. And if you haven't read it, I recommend that you do have a look at it. It's a very good diagram to show senior management, quality and finance, that if they're really looking to make cost savings, they need to have a solid platform to build upon. And the changes that Merck has gone through in its clinical trial operations over the last 4 to 5 years have been built on this solid platform of quality, and then building in dependability, building in speed. We're now working in a flexible environment, and only in the last couple of months have we begun to realize some cost savings. So again, standardization based on quality is the platform for innovation. And this is really our journey over the last couple of years. We've looked at the operating model itself, and we've gone from fully 100% outsourced CRAs. We've gone from about 50% programmatic outsourcing. And we've also looked at fragmented suppliers and reduced that dramatically. We have 6 or 7 preferred vendors supplying monitoring, trial management, and support services. We now have a blend of FSP CRAs plus headcount CRAs. We've still kept the flexibility. We like the FSP model. We like the flexibility, but we want to build our own talent. We want to build talent for the future and starting them off within the clinical trial CRA environment. And we've moved from 50-50 with respect to programmatic outsourcing to about 93% of FSP, and it's only a few legacy studies that are now in the programmatic outsourcing model. Our oversight has dramatically improved. Our processes, we've reviewed and reduced duplication in our SOPs, And we have a single end-to-end monitoring SOP that is fully understandable and clear. We've introduced controls and balances. We've got solid metrics issued regularly, monthly for monitoring visits, and I'll show you that a little bit later. And also a number of joint governance meetings that have been very, very important with respect to overseeing the relationship and the partnership. And again, tools we've introduced, SMART, Viva, ETMF. I'll talk about SMART in a minute or two. Again, we've looked at our training, both in terms of GCP, but also in terms of our therapeutic areas. We've overhauled that. And we've changed the onboarding process for our CRAs. And together with our partnerships, we have reduced the planned, the unplanned turnover from greater than 35% down to less than 10%. And some of the partners that are in the room today, and we're grateful for that partnership, and we hope to build and maintain that for the future. Again, just some of the highlights for the from the operating model. Again, we have a good quality practice council in place. Our portfolio has shifted dramatically from primary care to oncology. And we've changed our operating model from moving from a CRO-based to an FSP model. And also we joined Transcelerate in 2015, and that has brought a great opportunity for collaboration. Again, the flexible operating model, more than 96% of the studies are conducted internally, so with the controls and balances that we need. We select the academic institutions and countries that we want to work with. Our portfolio, as I mentioned, changed dramatically from one that was really primary care, vaccines and infectious diseases, to one that is now growing, and it's 68% oncology. Our functional service providers help us with resources. They're able to ramp up very quickly and also ramp down as our needs change. And again, our flexibility is 60-40, roughly in favour of our FSP suppliers. And again, we've had greater oversight and quality of our clinical trials. Inspections have gradually decreased over time. And also our completion and reduction of CAPAs has also decreased dramatically. Our operating model is very, very simple across GCTO. We have core capabilities in-house, that's the 40%, but the 60% is supplied by FSP, limited FSP suppliers who provide us with CRA, study managers, medical writing, and also data management. And this model uses Merck systems, Merck's SOPs, and we work very, very closely hand in hand with our FSP providers to make sure that our studies are well resourced and they're resourced at the appropriate time. As I said, we have about six or seven. We have three FSP suppliers and partners per region. This is not for competition. I'm not keen on competition in terms of supplying resources. We have the three to make sure that we do have sufficient supply of resources coming through to our organisation. And again, the proof of the pudding is in eating, and we've been quite successful in terms of product approval and launch over the last year. So, as I said, Merck needed to turn and face the strange, because in 2012, Merck had one Keytruda study, had one oncology study, and we now at the moment have over 1,000 Keytruda combination oncology studies. So we had to make some changes. We had to turn and face the strange, and we had to be different with respect to how we ran our operating model. Also, the numbers are very dramatic in terms of the number of studies that we're running. But we are a large company. We have over 45,000 active patients, just under 12,000 sites. We have a database lock almost every day. And in some days, we have it twice. We have over 92 inspections in 2018. So we really have to adopt a flexible can-do biotech environment and mindset to be able to get this work done. The number that causes me concern, and it's something that we're definitely going to look at internally, is 57 million data points. You know, do we need all of this data? Why do we collect it? If we're not going to use it, what do we need to do with it moving forward? So again, an area of data collection, of utilizing the data that we have and collecting meaningful data, is something on our horizons. Again, a lot of control within the studies, a lot of upfront planning. We have a common protocol template. We determine very, very detailed feasibilities in the countries that we work in. We work in about 50 or 60 countries. We have people in 47 countries. But we do the vast majority of our work. 80% of our studies, 80% of our patients come from 20 countries. So we limit that 20 in terms of first choice with respect to clinical trials. Vast majority of the resources go to that top 20. So we're gradually reducing the 47 down to 20. We have balanced scorecards. We have regular metrics. The one in the middle that is all green is our monitoring visit report compliance metrics. We have a 10-day rule and a 20-day rule, and we track it on a monthly basis. We track it per country, per therapeutic area, and also per partner. And these are produced on a regular monthly basis. They're there for discussion. They're not there to beat people over the head with. They're there for discussion and to look at the processes and to see where the gaps are and where we need additional training or improvement. We also have regular operational review meetings where the teams have to present their studies and also look at the risk associated with the current status. Will they deliver? If plan A does not work, what is plan B? And plan B is not hoping that plan A will work. It's again careful risk assessment. We have nice quality management systems in place, and I also mentioned this GCP Quality and Compliance Council that is across MRL, Merck Research Laboratories, to look at issues, address issues and concerns as they are raised and as they need to be resolved. We are committed to innovation, even though we are a large, complicated company. We have begun to introduce, through Transcelerate Collaboration, SIP, and we are looking at discussing with all of the sites around the world, moving to work into this new environment. We are coming up against a number of challenges, but we feel that this is a great initiative across Transcelerate and across pharma to begin to reduce duplication and maximize effort. We also have developed a mobile app for our CRAs. We've given them iPads to conduct their clinical trial monitoring visits. When I first arrived in Merck, it took our CRAs anywhere from 2 to 8 hours to complete a monitoring visit report. They had to go to two documents. They had to go to an additional document that provided explanations for one of the documents. There was a lot of duplication. It was one of the reasons that CRAs left Merck, was it was taking too much time to complete this document. We sat down, we listened to our CRAs. We looked at a number of external companies with which to develop a different tool. And we finally settled within our Merck for our own innovation unit. And we've developed a iPad with 4 new monitoring visit report templates that help the CRAs in their monitoring visit. They're intuitive. It guides them through. It provides a link to ETMF. It also produces a letter to the sites as soon as the monitoring visit is completed. And we're gradually introducing new modules. We're looking to introduce this year the protocol deviation module that again will help us with respect to gathering deviations at the end of the study. This is released to 1,800 CRAs around the world. It took a year and a half to develop. It took a year to roll out. And it has dramatically influenced CRA decision to work with us, reduced the time taken to complete their monitoring visit report. And it has given us a very nice competitive advantage in this limited talent population. We also have taken our time with respect to risk-based monitoring. We didn't like the risk aspect of it. We didn't like the fact that risk was in the title. So we've developed our own system in terms of adopted integrated monitoring. And we're working with a number of vendors to review and potentially onboard one of their systems. And this creates a dashboard that allows the CRAs and the monitors to better utilize their time, to get information from the sites so that they know what to concentrate and focus in on when they do actually go to the site for the face-to-face visit. We're also looking at a number of other technologies, particularly around drug accountability and drug labeling. We're also looking at patients' own devices for recording certain aspects of their treatment. We're also looking at drones for delivering medication. And we've seen within Merck a pilot for a drone for actually delivering medication to a site. So again, within a large company environment, it's not easy to introduce innovation. It's not easy to change the mindset. But with Keytruda and a change in leadership, we've been able to introduce some new ways of working, some new practices that have definitely helped with respect to this change in portfolio. And again, building on the smart tool, we have a system that provides the CRAs with a tool that allows them on a mobile platform to conduct their monitoring visit. It intuitively helps them through the monitoring visit. It prompts them with questions. And when the monitoring visit is finished, it's sent for review. Not for approval, just for review. We've re-energized and revalorized our CRAs. So they are now accountable for the sites. The monitoring visit report is reviewed. It's sent back to the CRA, and then it is automatically lodged within ETMF, and then the necessary documentation is sent to the site. And as I said, we're introducing a protocol deviation module. It's reduced the time to complete the monitoring visit report dramatically, and again, it's helped us with retention and also bringing on new CRAs. Great business benefit. It's had universal acceptance with our CRAs. It also offers offline capabilities. It allows them to travel to their sites with one piece of hardware, an iPad Pro, that again allows them to maximize their time at the site and to minimize the booting up time. Quality's been good, automatic filing. It's a new monitoring paradigm within the Merck organization, and we responded to the feedback from our CRAs and also to the regulatory authorities who were very critical of the monitoring visit report. It's been reviewed, it's been audited, and it's come through with flying colours. So we will build on that platform. We'll include new features in the smart tool that will again enhance the CRA monitoring experience, add value to what they do, and make it much more efficient and effective, and allow them time to spend with the site discussing recruitment and retention. So in summary, a model's a model's a model. And what I've presented to you works for Merck. I'm not advocating that you take this on board. But again, look at what you have. Look at your portfolio. Look at your management structure. Look at who your benevolent dictators are within your organization who are going to support this change. And we've been very fortunate within Merck that we have had a lot of things coming together that have allowed us to make the change. In fact, it's been necessary to make the change. And I'll just throw in another little cliche. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. And we had to change when we introduced Keytruda into the clinical trial setting. It is an evolution, not a revolution. It's gradual. And it will continue, and it will continue long after I've left Merck. We're looking at fee-for-service in some aspects of our monitoring. We're looking at out-tasking. We're looking at how do we change some aspects of on-site CRA monitoring. And we continue to look for new ways of working. This model evolves, and it evolves at the pace that suits our organization. And we're happy that it suits the pace of our partners. One of the things that I did learn when you want to change is that if you think you've communicated enough, you've still got three or more communications to go out. I know what I want. The people close to me know what I want. But people in New Zealand and Thailand and India, they don't necessarily know the intricacies, they do not know the detail. So again, we've got to keep communicating the change. We've got to keep communicating the message, the goals and objectives. We've got to do a lot of hand-holding. We've got to do a lot of training. But it's time and energy well spent. And we also track and measure the performance and the improvement. If you can't track it and measure it, then you're going to be in a little bit of difficulty when you want to show the return on investment and the improvements that you've made. And again, I've been very fortunate in my 4.5 years at Merck that I've had great support from the top within the organization. And that goes right through to the president of MRL and the chief medical officer. And they've seen the need for change and this necessity to bring a product like Keytruda to the marketplace. And again, we've looked at innovation to support the business. And when I come to meetings like DFARM, I'm excited and energized by what is on display, what is being discussed. But I have to look at it in terms of how will that fit into an organization like Merck. And I want to coin another phrase in terms of disruption. And I read this from a Belgian entrepreneur in the Financial Times at the weekend. And he said, disruption with respect. Respect what we have, respect the culture and the tradition. And from that basis, begin to disrupt the organization. And we've been very fortunate also with the model in that we've been able to deliver our portfolio. We've been able to deliver the milestones that have contributed to studies starting, studies ending, files being submitted, and a great number of approvals for our products, not just Keytruda. So I will be back in the basement this weekend. But please do not feel sorry for me because I have Genesis, Yes, and Emerson, Lake and Palmer vinyl still to go through. So thank you for your attention, and good luck with your transformation and your changes to your model.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. For information on the 10th annual DFARM, visit theconferenceforum.org.